You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The government's standoff with regional leaders in the northwest of England was played out on television this morning. Andrew Marr spoke to Andy Burnham, the Mayor of Greater Manchester, who has been resisting the government's push to adopt the highest tier of coronavirus restrictions without extra financial support.
It's a very challenging situation, but can I just say, Andrew, that this is all about the health of the people of Greater Manchester. We were the first in the country, myself and the 10 leaders here, to accept local restrictions, and that was 3 months ago. So to those who say we're playing politics, I would point them to that, which proves that we're not doing that. The truth is, health, protecting health, is about more than controlling the virus. We've been under those restrictions for 3 months, and people's mental health now is pretty low. People are worrying about their jobs, their kids, their homes, their businesses. So this isn't about politics or about money. This is about people, people's health and what's right for them. And what I would say to the government is, let's come together and agree a package of support that helps people through this. A punishing lockdown without support, trapping places in tier three all winter, I think will cause real harm to health in the broadest possible sense.
However, the Cabinet Office Minister, Michael Gove, challenged Burnham over his position.
I was listening very carefully to Andy Burnham earlier, someone I, you know, like and admire, but he was simultaneously saying that on the one hand, the incidence of infection in Greater Manchester was falling or under control, so we didn't need restrictions, but if enough money were given to Greater Manchester, then he would accept them. So there's an incoherence in the approach of some politicians in this matter. The government is perfectly clear. We believe that we should have appropriate restrictions in aid of public health, and we also provide generous financial and economic support to individuals and businesses in infected areas. But what, and Andy has a straightforward choice. Is he going to put public health and the economy of the people of Greater Manchester first? If he is, then we can secure agreement today.
Marr asked Gove if there was a chance that the government could override the objections of the northwestern political leaders and unilaterally place Greater Manchester into Tier 3 controls.
To be absolutely clear, you say you hope not to impose restrictions, but if you can't get agreement, will you?
Well, at this stage, in this context, we want to secure agreement.
I understand that. I'm saying, but will you impose restrictions if you can't get agreement? Yes or no?
Well, we're going to have to look at the position, but we absolutely want to work with the mayor and the political leadership of Greater Manchester, because every day that we delay, there is a risk of the virus spreading further, more people being in hospital, more people as a result, sadly and tragically, dying. And we've got agreement from the political and civic leadership in Liverpool and in Lancashire, Greater Manchester, we want to bring on board as well.
Did you bully and cajole those leaders to get agreement from them?
No, we worked effectively, I think, and cooperatively with them, because there's a widespread recognition that unless we deal effectively with the virus in those areas where the incidence is high, then we won't be able to improve the health of all.
Peter Foster, who's the Labour leader of Ribble Council, said he was bullied and cajoled and blackmailed into agreeing. Mohammed Iqbal, who's the leader of Pendle Council, said Lancashire leaders have been blackmailed into doing a deal by government. And Joe Anderson, the mayor of Liverpool, whose brother has just died, said that to try to tell people that we supported this package is an absolute blatant lie.
Well, it is the case that in every part of Lancashire and in Liverpool, agreement was reached.
Because you blackmailed and cajoled them?
No. It's because we, were very clear about the public health problem and, B, provided economic support.
The discussion turned to Brexit and the chances of a trade deal with the EU after a week which saw negotiations turn sour.
Would you prefer there to be a free trade agreement with the EU?
Yes.
You've said that all the way through. The government says that trade talks are now over. Are trade talks over?
I think the EU effectively ended the current round of talks last week. It was the case that we were making progress, and then the EU retreated from that. And indeed, at the EU Council last week, the original commitment that was there in their sort of draft communique to intensive talks, the word intensive was taken out. That wasn't just a cosmetic excision. It reflected the fact that over the previous 2 weeks, we haven't seen from the EU the production of the legal text required in order for there to be progress. And as one of our negotiators pointed out, it was more like performance art than it was a dedicated attempt to reach a conclusion. So we've drawn the conclusion that unless their approach changes, that they're not interested in. In effect, they've drawn stumps on progress.
I can't really tell whether this is sabre rattling or whether the door is still slightly ajar for more talks.
It is ajar. We hope that the EU will change their position. We're certainly not saying that if they do change their position, that we can't talk to them. But I think it's only fair also that we communicate one other thing, which is that we are ready, if required, to leave on what have been called Australian terms. That's not going to be a picnic.
Could be called Mongolian or Afghan terms as well as Australian.
Well, the key thing about it is that we are taking the steps alongside business to be ready for that outcome. And the other thing which is important again, and our communications campaign later today will make this clear, is that the steps that business need to take, whether or not we have a Canada Free Trade Agreement or we leave in Australian terms, are very, very similar. And the great thing is that business has risen to that challenge in a very pragmatic way.
Ma also interviewed the Shadow Cabinet Office Minister Rachel Reeves and asked her about Labour's policy of employing a circuit breaker, a brief return to national lockdown, in order to suppress the virus before relaxing the rules once again.
Is this going to be the first of many, many such lockdowns? And I read you again what Sage says themselves. They say multiple circuit breaks might be necessary to maintain low levels of incidence. In other words, you say 2 to 3 weeks, but there could be then a short gap, and then another 2 to 3 weeks, and then another, and another, and another.
And if that is what is needed, then that is the approach that has to be taken, because we've
really?
Got to get a grip on this virus. But at the moment, it feels like we're going into a tunnel and you've no idea where the end of that tunnel is. You've no idea when you're going to come out of it, whether you're in Tier 2 or Tier 3. The economic effect is devastating. And what Chris Whitty and Patrick Vallance saying is that even Tier 3 isn't going to get the numbers down, isn't going to get control of the virus. So we're pursuing a strategy, the government are pursuing a strategy now, which we know isn't working and is having a devastating impact on business. Try something different. Stop being wedded to this model that isn't working and instead follow the science, implement this circuit break. Let's work together to do that, to get control of the virus, to protect our NHS and to fix our test and trace model.
Sophie Ridge spoke to Labour's Shadow Education Secretary, Kate Green, who put the case for extending the remit of the free school meals voucher scheme.
Marcus Rashford, the Manchester United footballer, is asking the government to provide free school meals to children when schools are on holiday. Now, Number 10 have said it's not for schools to provide meals when they're actually on holiday. They've got a point, haven't they?
No, they haven't got a point, because families are in a desperate situation at the moment. You know, parents are losing jobs because of the COVID crisis. They're really worrying about how they're going to put food on the table for their children. We're talking about people on desperately low incomes, Sophie, really worried about how they're going to feed their kids. And, you know, I'm standing, you know, half a mile from Old Trafford. I pay huge tribute to what Marcus Rashford has done to bring this to public attention, and did persuade the government that they would need to provide school meals over the summer holidays. Labour's calling for that to be continued during this academic year, while we're in the depths of this crisis, right through all the school holidays and half terms this year. It's so important that these children get a proper healthy meal. We know families are under huge financial pressure, and this would make an enormous difference to them.
And finally, Jeremy Farrar, the director of the Wellcome Trust and a member of the government's key SAGE advisory group, offered a decidedly unfestive prediction for this December.
You're talking about a time frame of potentially 3 to 6 months. How is Christmas going to look like for people, do you think?
I think Christmas, I don't think the vaccines will be ready and be deployed by Christmas. We will have the data on the vaccines, I hope, in November and December and into January next year. Christmas, I think, will be tough this year. I don't think Christmas is going to be the usual celebration it is, and all families coming together, I'm afraid. I wish we could say it was, but I think we have to be honest and realistic to say that we are in for 3 to 6 months of a very, very difficult period. The temperatures drop. We are all indoors more often. We have the other infections that come at this time of year. Much better for us to be upfront and honest now and say we're in for a really difficult time, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is light at the end of the tunnel in the first quarter of next year with the starting of coming of vaccines and the starting of treatments. But we've got 3, 4, 5 months to get through until we get to that period. And I'm afraid, yes, Christmas will not feel like a normal Christmas for almost everybody.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.
You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions. Plus, get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.